So now before we open up the scriptures, you can be seated if you'd like. I just want to take a minute and maybe just quiet our heart and our mind for just a second. I know we all have come from different places today. Some of us have had an incredible week. Things couldn't be better. Life is good. And if you're in that kind of place, I rejoice with you, celebrate with you. Others of us, life may have been a little more challenging this week. A lot of questions, maybe more questions than answers. So we're going to just take a moment and just quiet our hearts before God. If you're joining us online, just take a moment wherever you are. And let's just offer our past week to God. Let's offer our next week to God. And then we can clear our minds and our hearts to receive all that He wants to do in us and through us today in these moments. Pray that you would open our heart to receive all that you want to give to us. Would you open our minds to process and to think and to reflect on your scriptures, on your word? And would you open our hands that we may serve and offer our lives? We pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. When I think of creation, I'm reminded of a story. I think it's one I've told in the past. Story of a little boy. He was 7 or 8 years old. Very curious, very much filled with wonder and awe at the world. And so one afternoon he came to his mom and he said, "Mom, where do people come from? Like, how did we get here?" And his mother looked him in the eye, kind of got down and said, "Well, son, you know, God created us. God breathed life into us." And it's like, "Yeah." Well, a couple days went by, and he's with his dad, and he said to his dad, and asking the same kind of question, because, you know, curious people continue to ask curious questions, and he said, Dad, where did we come from? Like, how did we get here?" He said, "Son," looked him in the eye, he said, "Son, we evolved from monkeys. That's how we got here." Now the boy's confused, so he goes back to his mom, and he says, "Mom, now I'm confused. I mean, you said that God created us, and I believed you, but Dad said that we evolved from monkeys. Mom, how do you explain that?" And she said, "Oh, honey, that's easy. I was talking about my family. He was talking about his family." So I wonder, are science and faith enemies? See, for hundreds of years, there has been this unfortunate tension between the scientific community and the community of faith. Ever since the modern scientific method was forged in the 16th and 17th centuries, it would seem that religion and faith have been in conflict. Dating back to Copernicus and Galileo, both who were persecuted by the church. Galileo was a professed Christian, and yet he was deemed a heretic because he dare observe that the earth revolves around the sun and not the other way around. These days, it seems like we're hearing a lot about science and faith. Seems as though everyone these days is a virologist with well-informed opinions. The first time I ever got excited about science was through a subscription to Ranger Rick magazine. Anybody remember Ranger Rick magazine? I could not wait till that monthly magazine showed up and I was invited into a world of wonder. While my friends were dreaming of becoming police officers and firefighters, I was dreaming of becoming a zoologist. In junior high, I was excited to learn that in biology class, we were going to dissect cow eyeballs and frogs and earthworms. I couldn't wait. I can still remember the smell of the formaldehyde. Loved it so much I made cologne out of it. I can still see the classroom. But then I came to faith. And what I discovered was faith didn't have a lot to say about science. At least so I was told. And so I began to wonder, like so many wonder, is the Bible actually anti-science? Like in the 19th century, two men, John William Draper and Andrew Dixon White, offered an idea called the conflict thesis, in which they concluded that there is this inherent conflict between science and religion. And yet I fully and passionately disagree with that premise. See, I believe that Christianity and science together have the potential to inspire awe and wonder and curiosity. Both are important because both address the human experience. In the year 2000, after successfully mapping the human genome, Dr. Francis Collins, who is a Christian, stood next to his colleagues to hear the words of the then President Bill Clinton say this: "Today, we are learning the language of God. We are gaining ever more awe for the complexity, the beauty, and the wonder of God's most divine and sacred gift." He goes on to say, Francis Collins goes on to say, "It is a happy day for the world. It is humbling for me and awe-inspiring to realize that we have caught the first glimpse of our own instruction book, previously known only to God." Now, you and I, every morning that we wake up, we are the benefactors of science and the effect of technology on the world. See, in the 19th century, most families could expect to lose at least one child to disease. But now, because of advancements in science, this is becoming more and more uncommon, especially in developed countries. Every day, we rely on things like computers and cell phones. We rely on cars and airplanes. We rely on the internet. There are many of you, thousands of you right now watching this gathering because of the advancement of science and technology. We're healthier because of science. We have access to medications that radically improve our quality of life. And so what do we do with these questions of conflict? Well, I think it's helpful to begin first by understanding what the Bible is and what the Bible isn't. See, the Bible in purpose is not a scientific textbook. The Bible is a revelation of the nature and character of God. The Bible tells us why things are. It reveals God's plan for everything. See, for far too long, I believe that the community of faith has given cheap answers to hard questions, which ironically is something Jesus himself never did. When Jesus was asked a hard question, Jesus leaned into it. And often, Jesus would answer a question with another question. Now, have you ever had someone answer your question with a question? It can be like infuriating sometimes because we just want answers. But Jesus when he answered a question with a question, was asking people to think, to use our mind, to reflect deeply on what it was they were asking. So do the beliefs that we hold so true and firmly come from our own place of intentional reflection on the scriptures, on the Bible, on study, or do we rely too much on tradition and the opinions of other people? I mean, do you walk out of here saying, well, Pastor Mike said it, so it must be true? And it probably is, but see, if the Bible only communicates what we want it to say or what we make it say, then it is only a reflection of our own ideas and desires. This couldn't be more true with the book of Genesis. So we've got to understand what Genesis is. There's lots of arguments over the book of Genesis. Now, understanding this, Genesis is a story of origin. It's an origin story, much more than it is a process story. So what you got to understand, in the time and culture in which Genesis was written, there were other creation stories that were revolving around culture. And so God spoke the book of Genesis into existence. He spoke it into a very polytheistic culture. And the message of Genesis was this: there is one true creator God. There is one God, Yahweh. He is a benevolent and loving God. He created the world from a place of love, intentionality, and creativity. Your source, your origin, your beginning is in God himself, in Yahweh. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word create means to bring into existence. It's also a reference to the activity of a potter spinning his wheel and forming clay into whatever it is that he seems fit. See, God creates with love, creativity, and that loving creativity is expressed to the world in two great revelations. First is the scriptures themselves. We open the Bible, which is the word of God, and we have life come to us. But there's also a second revelation God gives us, and that's creation itself. That's nature itself. Nature is speaking. My last year of college, in order to graduate, I was required to complete an internship at a church. And so I spent my summer in Des Moines, Iowa. I was involved with the middle school ministry, and I was involved in all of their activities, one of which was to go camping with 50 middle schoolers. You ever gone camping with 50 middle schoolers? Well, I went camping with 50 middle schoolers, and we went out into the middle of backwoods nowhere, Iowa. Now, I grew up in Western New York. I grew up like in a place where there's a lot of people. I didn't realize the place that we went camping even existed in the world. There was nothing out there. We went out into Iowa and we set up our tents and we had all kinds of activities in God's creation. We went hiking and we were covered in leeches, and it was just not something that was the highlight of my life. However, that evening, we sat around the campfire. And as the sun began to set, I made my way back to the tent. It was completely dark out, no light pollution. See, I grew up in a place, a lot of light pollution, right? Because there's something that was always going on. And I walked back to my tent, and it was pitch black. And I just happened to stop for a moment and look up. And what I saw, it took my breath away. I had never, in my life, in my 21 years of existence, ever seen anything like what I saw when I looked up. I didn't realize that there were that many stars visible to the naked eye when there's no other lights around. I stood looking up for so long that my neck began to cramp, but I could not stop because I had never seen anything quite like that. And I hear the words of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. In that moment, in the middle of backwoods Iowa, as I looked up, my heart could only be filled with worship and acknowledge there is a creator God who was revealing himself to all of humanity. Albert Einstein once famously wrote, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." The scriptures, Christianity, and science reveal to us a loving creator. But they also help us to understand our purpose and our meaning. So, in the limited time that I have left this morning, I just want to make two simple observations and then wrap this up by talking about why it even matters in the first place. So here's the first observation. Science and the scripture, science and Christianity together, help us reflect in a beautiful way why there is something rather than nothing. Like, have you ever thought about nothing? Like, what's nothing? How do you describe nothing? What does nothing look like? What does nothing feel like? And if there's nothing, do we know there's nothing? You ever thought about stuff like that, or is it just me? Like, in the moments when I can't fall asleep at night, what is? How do you describe nothing? And to make things even worse, like, think about time and eternity. How do you describe eternity? See, these are the questions that cause philosophers to go mad. And yet, when I think about these things, my heart is filled with curiosity, openness, and wonder. See, whether you're a Christian who believes in God, the creator, or an atheist who believes it's all just chance and everything is just random, both those ideologies end up in the same place, and I call that place faith. Because everyone, whether you're a scientist or not, must start our quest. You must start your quest for knowledge with some unprovable axiom. See, faith forms a worldview, and from that place, we sort through and deduce our truth. Because see, the starting point for all worldviews is this, whatever it is, the starting point is always faith. Because eventually, in every belief system, there must be some unprovable, presupposed foundation for reasoning. What some call the uncaused cause. In other words, what is it that started everything? Well, for followers of Christ, we cling to the words of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So see, there are really two major worldviews when we consider how things got here. The first is what some call naturalism. In other words, the natural world is all there is. It's all random chance. It was just a big accident. But naturalism cannot answer the question of where did the first of anything come? Where did the first particle come from? How did it get here? The second worldview is that of theism, belief that there is a God who is a creator, but then we're still left with the faith question, well, who created God? It's the question of children. Quite literally a month ago, a little girl walked up to me, 5 years old, with her mom, and the mother said, "Our daughter has a question for you." I'm like, "Oh, I just love kids. You get down on your knee, look at the kid in the eye. I love the questions of kids." And she said, "Pastor Mike, where did God come from?" Ask your mother. That's a question for your mom. It's a question of faith. See, these are questions of historical science. How do we deduce truth from something we cannot observe? How did God get? I don't know. I wasn't there. Why does anything exist in the first place? Especially those things we can't readily observe. See, science is powerless to answer that question because it can only speak in terms of cause and effect. And every worldview, regardless of what it is, must believe in a cause that is in and of itself uncaused. For For naturalism, it's that uncaused transcendent particle. For Christianity, that uncaused cause is our Creator God. See, by faith, we understand the universe was created by the Word of God. And that uncaused cause is so unexplainable, so big for our finite minds. This God that spoke the world. Think about what God spoke into existence. Like, just let me give you a taste. Imagine this. Imagine that this little stress ball, which is something I've been using a lot lately. Imagine this stress ball represents the earth. This is the earth. You see where Wisconsin is? It's right there. Do you see yourself? You're there. You're on the earth. We're all here gathered together. This is the earth. Now compare that to some of the biggest stars that have ever been discovered. There's a star that was discovered called Canis Majoris. Canis Majoris is so big that if you were to take the earth and place the earth next to Canis Majoris, the scale would be the same as taking this stress ball and placing it at the foot of Mount Everest. And God spoke it. And Canis Majoris is just one of billions and billions of stars. See, when I looked up into that night sky in the middle of backwoods Iowa, God was revealing himself in profound ways. The God who spoke Canis Majoris into existence. Now, there's a second observation, and it's this. Christianity and science, the Bible and science, help us to understand the systematic nature and precision of everything. Back to Dr. Francis Collins. He shares in some of his writings his rational basis for his belief in God and Christianity. He says this. He points out that there are 15 physical constants in the universe, such as the strength of weak and strong nuclear forces and the speed of light, all of which have values within a narrow range necessary for the existence of a stable universe capable of sustaining complex life. He says the odds of this happening by chance are almost impossible. And so what sustains all of this impossibility? The writer of the book of Colossians says this to us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together because of systems that he himself designed. Look, when you look out into the world, what you see is systems. Everything that I know that exists has a system. Think about the solar system and the movement of the planets. Think about your digestive system. Last night, I had pizza from Sal's. It was so good. So cheesy. I ate 4 pieces. I washed it down with 4 cookies and a Sprecher root beer. And I paid for it at midnight. But my body knew which nutrients to take out, which were very small, and which ones to discard. I didn't need to tell it. It just knows, because there's a system. When God created plants, God's purpose wasn't just to keep speaking plants into existence. God created a system. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. Light and water, the process of photosynthesis. It's a system designed by God to sustain the world. Think about living creatures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill water in the seas. Let the birds increase on the earth. God just doesn't continually say, poof, 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 creating creatures. He created a system the reproductive system. See, when you consider yourself, you started out as one cell. And somehow that cell knew to develop, how to develop into you, because God created a system. You got here this morning in a car, most of you. Your car is made up of systems, the exhaust systems, transmission. You're able to hear my voice because of a sound system, which was designed by somebody. Those of you watching online, you're able to watch online because of a system that someone created. We're sitting together in this room, and regularly I hear from people that this room is either way too hot or way too cold. The reason you say that is because there's a system called an HVAC system that was designed by somebody. Every system that I know has a designer. I've never heard of a system that doesn't have a designer. So when we look at the systems of the universe and the world and your body, it's all made up of systems. Systems have to have a designer. The complexity of the systems of this world happening by chance, I think, takes more faith to believe than subscribing to a designer. So why does all this matter? See, this matters because the Bible and science together help us understand and make sense of our need for transcendence, meaning, and worship. In the Old Testament, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, has this to say. God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. In other words, we were hardwired in our creation to long for something bigger. See, what science tells us is that when a person is praying, when observed in an MRI machine, the brain lights up and changes. Something happens. Something profound happens when we connect with the divine. See, we were hardwired for meaning and for purpose and for worship. See, everybody worships. Everybody. It's why when you see someone famous on the street, like something happens in you. You might not want to admit it, but something happens. Like I was with my family about 10 years ago at Disney World. And we were in Animal Kingdom, and we're just getting ready to go on one of the rides. And I look over, and I see this guy. I'm like, I recognize that guy. Who is that? And I realize, that's the Cake Boss. Remember the Cake Boss? Anybody watch Cake Boss? It's basically a TV show about cake, right? That's the Cake Boss. And Rebecca wanted to go over and meet him. I'm like, no, we can't bug him. He's at Disney World. And something happened. Why did something happen? Because we were designed to worship. It's why we go to concerts. It's why we go to sporting events. Oh, we might not call it worship, but you go to a concert and many people's hands are raised in the air and they're singing along and they're screaming. Oh, it's also why we feel so good about helping others, because we were also designed to serve. So as we think about our faith, as we think about science, listen, it's not about winning an argument. It's about bearing witness to what we believe. See, science observes how things work, but Scripture gives us a why. George Coyne once wrote, "Our scientific understanding of the universe provides for those who believe in God a marvelous opportunity to reflect upon their beliefs." This is important because it helps us to notice God. The God that created Canis Majoris is also the God that created you. The God that knows every hair on your head. The God that says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. The God that spoke eternity into existence is also the God that spoke you into existence. And so may we walk out into creation. And as we do, may we reflect and think deeply about our Creator. And for those of us that have said, you know, I just need to hear from God. I just wish God would reveal himself to me. My encouragement to you is to walk outside this evening when it's pitch black and simply look up. for the heavens declare the glory of God. So Lord, I'm humbled. I'm humbled by the bigness of who you are, what you've done. And now in our culture, some of the biggest questions that people are wrestling with are the questions of faith and of science and how these come together. And I believe that science is just another way to reveal your creative genius. And so I stand in awe and wonder. Would you help us, O God, as we step out into creation, as we observe the trees and the birds and the flowers? May we notice that you are revealing yourself to us in profound ways if we simply pause long enough to notice. God of all creation, we worship you. Amen. So we're going to wrap up with one more song. I hope it draws you into the beauty of your Creator. We're also going to use this time to worship through our giving. If you're joining us online, all the instructions are there for you to give online. If you're here today with us, you can place your connection card and offering in the lockbox as you get back. So let's take just one more moment together and worship our wonderful Creator God.